Welcome, welcome, Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cov and the Ball Hulk. We're going to have a special edition this week. We're going to recap the next four games, the last four games. We did a first four-game recap. This is the second four-game recap. We'll go over the Duke, Louisville, Georgia Tech, and Miami games, give you what we've seen, the good, bad, and the ugly, and then talk a little bit about this weekend's opponent, UNC, who is number one in the Coastal at 7-1 and are rolling. Hulk, what's good, fam?
Not much, man. Excited just to recap these last four games. We did the first four, so it was like a quarterly report with Cub and Hulk, and like you said, it's a switch up. And I know a lot of times fans, you know, when we have guests on, fans like to hear our analysis. I know they heard us both the Georgia Tech game with you. Shoot, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. I mean, they heard us a couple games, do games together live, but, our podcast not really a recap. So, you know, I know they're looking forward to hear what we have to say unapologetically.
Yeah, because we're about to give it up, give it to them raw. You know how we do.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Well, bro, let's just go ahead and just carve it up, man. As we look back on these four games, I did not think that we would come out of the month of October being 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit surprising, very disappointing, and disappointing for reasons that watching it was difficult because I feel like we were better than at least three of the teams and did not. I mean, Duke came out, you know, they put foot in the behind straight up. I got to give Duke props. Coach Elko has those guys rolling. He has them disciplined. They are coached up. They are not making mistakes that are costing themselves football game. They have a very simple scheme, and they are executing on that scheme. And so I got to give Coach Elko props. Right now, he probably got to be Coach of the Year in the ACC. What are your opinion? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. Duke is the one team that I said styles make fights, and that was a team that they were built to just beat us because they took it to us. Whether they were running the ball, timely passes, how they schemed us up with the fake screen and go that earned a touchdown. And then what they did on defense as far as mirroring BA, because that was the game where he had a lot of passes battered down at the line of scrimmage. It wasn't a lot of, and then it was still some drops in the end zone that our receivers had, but that was the one game that a coach identified that they couldn't get home. And if they did get home, BA could make plays with his legs. So it was like, let's mix it up. Let's mirror him. We're getting guys open, but it would timely bat downs. And that was the first game. If you look at, if you can remember back to the post game with Coach Elliott and Coach Kitchens, that they said BA was comfortable, that his progressions and how he was reading defenses within the scheme, they were confident, even though it wasn't a success. So, they really smashed us. Salute to Duke. Yeah, he does deserve Coach of the Year. Another first-year coach came in with a scheme that was simple because he didn't know what he had on the offensive side of the ball. And they just make it work. And their quarterback make them go. He make a lot of plays. So, yeah, that was the game that, that's like the Illinois games. Those two games, with that loss, chalk that up to the game right there. Mm-hmm. Just beat our ass.
Indeed, indeed. You know, when I think about it, man, it's like I think that was probably the beginning of the issues with running the football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for a team like Duke, what they did was they needed how they're playing is how we need to play. They control the game with the running game. They have timely passes off of the running game and play action, RPO. And they have a mobile quarterback that can make plays when necessary. And they're not making mistakes and they're not shooting themselves in the foot. You know, when I look back at that game, we had 25 attempts, 93 yards. They had 48 attempts, 248 yards. you know, BA threw it for, you know, a couple hundred, but still, you know, it was the mistakes that game. It was the penalties that game. You know, it was so many different things, man. And something that we'll break down over this recap is our inability to convert on third downs. You know, I mean, I think that has plagued us big time in these four losses, because if you can't get first downs, then you can't possess the ball, you know? And so over the last four games, the only time we won time of possession was the game we won at Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other teams have been running it effectively enough to keep it away, to get it in the end zone, to win the games. And it's been real interesting how, you know, as I've delved down into the stats over these four games, how so many different things and struggles paint a huge picture.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's like teams understand that our defense has been very effective, but you and I both know you can have a very good defense, but the more I see you, the more I can figure you out. And your conditioning comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So Duke just stayed the course. If you remember, we started off, got an opening drive stop. We get the ball. We play field position because we understand our defense is good. And that's when we had that quick kick with BA, got up to the 7-yard line. And they drove it all the way down the field for a score. Like, that was the first time, because the previous away games, outside of Syracuse, like Illinois, we got two straight turnovers. But after that first drive by Syracuse, the defense settled down, started getting turnovers. So it was like Coach Elliott was playing to, like, hey, defense, we good. Like, our defense is going to get us a short field. And they did something nobody else was really able to do, was that second drive score. And it was almost like, what are we going to do now? Because they had never seen that before. And that's been kudos to our defense. Our defense has always been, like, allowing us to get those timely turnovers early, make the other team make a mistake. So that showed that offensively, even now, we got to do better. We got to score early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to now, it's the ultimate team sport. You, now it's your turn to put the pressure on the opposing team's offense. The opposing offenses have had a luxury of saying, they ain't doing nothing with it. We got time to figure it out. Because our defense is essentially doing their job. Whether we could say the self-inflicted wounds, but they're still saying our defense is allowing us, and we saw this past week. I know we'll talk about Miami. We always gave them, their offense, a chance to right the ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at this month, man, Virginia's played against one starting quarterback that played four quarters, one game, and that was the Duke game.
Yeah,
that was the Duke game. You know,
that's a crazy stat.
It is.
That's a crazy stat.
If you would have told me that we're going to play against, I'd say at the beginning of October, if you'd have told me that we're going to play against backup quarterbacks three out of the next four games, I would have been just giddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd have been giddy. I'm like, oh, that's at least 3-1. At least 3-1.
Easy.
You know, and so to go 1-3 is just, bro, that's a damn Greek tragedy right there, bro.
I mean, we just can't score points for as many weapons that we have. I know it's deficiencies up front. I get that. But, you know, the Duke game up front, they did something on the defensive line that made it tough on BA that he had never seen. Because BA does have that slingshot type of whip from the side. So you can get your hands up. He's not an overhead thrower. So they took advantage of that. But even as we fast forward to Louisville, so Louisville is the game in which he was his most efficient, but how can I say this? When he didn't have a completion, it changed the game. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. the one with between him and Lavelle, I felt like Lavelle, you gotta get your head around. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. that turned to an interception.
Mm-hmm.
The touchdown pass he had was a free play, was Vince's BA, and then Vince's Wicks. Like Wicks made a nice catch. Regardless of if somebody jumped outside, like he threw it to somebody that was open, he completed it, because that's been the struggle this year.
Right.
You know, but that game, we jumped out on them, and then
Yeah, they were looking for a way to quit, man. Louisville, you know, the rumors were coach was going to lose his job if he lost the game, so on and so forth. And we jump out 10 to nothing. We're driving to go up 17 to nothing. And B.A. fumbles the ball in the red zone.
While trying to make sure he had I'm laughing because I want to cry. Because from the sideline, Cove, he's cutting, and you see him practice ball security and put it high and tight. And he didn't expect to get hit like he got hit. And his natural instinct was to, let me brace myself. And then the ball the arm comes down, and boom, his wrist is hit and the ball comes out. And when it hits the ground, nobody sees he's fumbled but one dude, and he beat B.A. to it. And B.A. he probably cried. Like, he had his face in the – I never seen that body language from him. That's mm-hmm. how I knew, like, damn, bro. Like, I'm not laughing at him. I'm just laughing like, yo, it happened again.
Yeah. Facts. I mean, because the game kind of changed at that point, you know, and you think to yourself, well, I mean, that was the first quarter, but mm-hmm. it's one of those things where you go up 17 to nothing, then Louisville's mentality is different. You yes. know, they had a backup quarterback in. Mm-hmm. We were all over the guy. He looked like trash. And yes. all of a sudden, he made like one play. And then he looking like damn Joe Montana back there, you know. And they kept hitting us on the most basic inside route. I was like, is uh-huh. anybody going to defend that? I mean, it was just – it was the darndest thing that I've ever seen. I was just like, we got five DBs out there. Nobody can cover an in route. The mm-hmm. linebackers, where are the linebackers at? Why are they not dropping in that zone? You know, and it was just one of the most crazy things I've ever seen. And I'm just looking, all of a sudden, Buddy just got new life and was just, I'm telling you, I was just like, who is this backup quarterback who just went from looking like absolute trash to just out here just gunslinging? But it was easy. And then he had that pull, faked everybody out, and ran the ball down the field with nobody in. I mean,
on fourth down,
he could have backpedaled into the end zone from the 50-yard line because nobody was around, you know. But that's a part of the discipline of the defense. You know, everybody's got to do their job, and when you go out there and you have that Superman mentality, like I'm gonna make the play. Chances are you're not going to make the play.
Yeah, you ain't going to make the play. Don't listen to T.O. who going to make a plan. Play I can. Don't listen to that. Do your job.
Yeah, facts.
Do your job. Like, because he had threw an early pick to A.J. Shout out to mm-hmm. man. So he was going to be gun. He was gunshot to them. Mm-hmm. As you said, man, once he pulled and scored, it was like A.J. Like, A.J. got that early pick. A.J. started making plays on dig routes, and he got the tip to Antonio. Like he, matter of fact, that's two picks he had thrown.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes really is one play to give you that confidence. We say as a DB, if I get an early pick in that first quarter, I am locking you up, period. Like, unless, even if you burn me, I still gonna feel like I'm gonna lock you up because I got an early pick. But he pulled that jank and ran it 50 yards, him? Man, listen, that man look like somebody's great uncle out there. No disrespect to you, man. I know you're only like 23, but you're a sophomore. You know, it's like Necessary Roughness. You remember the movie Necessary Roughness?
Yeah.
Bad and them. He the quarterback that had been working on the ranch and stuff. That was him, respectfully, because he's still a young man.
Because, I mean, at that point in the game, you know, it was 10 to 3.
Yep.
It was 10 to 3. They went for it on fourth, and he sprints 44 yards. You know, they come back, kick another field goal. So suddenly, they win in the game.
Suddenly,
then so then they come and score another touchdown. So we all of a sudden we like, wait, what just happened? You know, it was crazy. So there it was, you know, just the game fell apart. It just fell apart. And I still say I go back to the turnover. So, you know, let's talk. Duke, 2 turnovers. Louisville, 3 turnovers. You know, and if we continue to fast forward onto the Georgia Tech week, 4 turnovers. We had 3 turnovers in the first quarter and a half of that game. You know, and just the fortunate part is that we were effective against Sims, you know, but Sims was not healthy. Let's be clear.
He was on one wheel.
Right. All props to our defense for what they have done over the last few games. But let's also be clear. It was not a healthy Jeff Sims. You played against a backup who was trash can juice. Let's call it what it is.
Miami?
No. I'm on Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. Yeah, buddy.
You know, he was trash can juice. Buddy. And we out there struggling in that game just to try to get the dub. And the defense is absolutely playing lights out. But once again, 4 turnovers, you know, and the struggle was just real. You get a pass dropped in the end zone by Lavelle.
That could have put the game away.
It could have put the game away. The only touchdown that they did score was off of Keaton, you know, so that went down as a drop. It pops up in the air. They pick it off and run it back for a touchdown. That was the only
touchdown. That was the first series, too.
Yeah. It was the craziest thing, man, you know, and you just keep seeing things like that. And we are not a good enough for those kind of errors and overcome them. You know, we don't have enough confidence right now to when adversity hits to be able to battle back from it, you know, and because it's like the only leadership that I see that's visible on defense is coming from Nick Jackson. AJ is playing. He's showing leadership by the way he playing.
Right, he play, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And Kiko too.
Right. And offensively, you're just not seeing somebody that's really taking the bull by the horns to be that guy, you know? And you would always assume that it's your quarterback, but I think he's struggling with confidence. It's not your wide receivers. It's not your running back. It's damn sure not the offensive line. So where are you going? Who's going to be the guy? And I think that's what's missing. That's why they don't look like they're having fun. Defense is flying around. You know, they dapping each other up. They going crazy. They playing with so much enthusiasm because they're having fun. Offensively, man, it looks like work.
And the one guy that could lead them on offense, not to cut you off, has been battling injuries, or they just don't seem like they involve as much as we would like, because we've been around and Billy Kemp may not be a typical leader, but his energy is infectious. When he makes a play, it trickles to the other receivers. He makes the tough catch. He makes the tough run. He has that oomph, that dog that isn't all about posturing. That's like real organic energy that we saw that Miami. We saw that when he looked like he was hurt the Georgia Tech game. Then he came in and he returns a punt 20 yards. And Coach Elliott talked about that. It's like that, because I want to say that drive, that's when Wicks had his catch and run after his punt return. But that's the guy that we've truly missed, that people, I don't think, really understand how special of a player he is, that he sets the table. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, agreed.
He's that high fastball that's going to make you back off the plate. Like, remember me.
Right.
You know? And, you know, we know he's battling with the foot injury, and that's that right there, man. Like, he could easily say, man, we losing. I'm good. I'm going to wait until I'm healthy. And he still want to be out there.
Yeah. I mean, he's a warrior, man. If the wide receivers are a car, Billy's the engine, you know, and when they can get Billy going early, the receivers look, they get confidence from what Billy does.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's been unfortunate that Billy's been nicked up. And then, you know, when he is out there, they're not really feeding him, you know, they're not really featuring him. And I don't know why, because he's unguardable, you know, in the slot, he's unguardable. One guy will never tackle him. It's always going to take 2 to 3 to tackle him. So just pivot routes, whip routes, all kind of routes like that, crossing routes, shallows, everything, rubs. I got to get him the ball in space because he can make something happen with it. You know,
and it got open twice in Georgia Tech, and BA admitted to it. He was like, it's just bad throws.
Yep. Yeah.
So I had to cut you off. Keep going, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's it. It's just he's out there grinding, fighting, and you see him grinding and fighting. And so that's what makes you love, you know, a guy like Billy Kemp, because to your point, he is that dog. You know, he is that dog that's needed on that offense. But if he's not getting the touches, I mean, he's trying, but you know, he's trying to lead by example. But I feel like they got to just feature him a little bit more and figure out more creative ways to try to get him to rock.
Because he's going to declare single safety high.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that you have to declare coverage. Pre-snap read, you put him in some type of window dressing motion, they're going to react to four because, as you stated, he's a matchup nightmare. You're just not going to bump out a linebacker with four.
No.
A safety has to come down. And I know we like to be an 11 personnel for fans. I don't know, that's one back, one tight end. If four is in and you go 10, one back, no tight ends, basically four wides, quads, two receivers on each side, and you can motion, you can put trips, 3x1, whatever you want to do. If you got Keaton in as your now tight end, because we're so used to having a tight end in, you make Keaton the tight end if Billy's in the game, which is a great thing because Keaton can play H, you know, and you can run NASCAR because Keaton is a bigger size that even if you bring a DB in, they're most likely going to be smaller than him. Mm-hmm. I could treat Keaton as a tight end, or I could say, Lavelle, you come be the tight end, you 6'7". You know, you're not Jelani's weight, but you're his height.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if Coach Kitchen is always thinking about having the tight end type, so they have to keep a linebacker in. But sometimes you just got to say, my guy's going to beat you no matter who's in there. And I'm not telling Coach Kitchen what to do. I'm just saying, like, me understanding how you can get the best of both worlds. Like, you could get your pro style scheme, but have air raid personnel, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brennan, in my opinion, just going to see personnel.
Right.
That's going to make him think differently. It seems like Brennan, and this is not a knock on him, when you put Brennan in the pro style and you have him in a pistol or you have him under center and is always a prototypical tight end, because Jelani was the new age tight end. We saw Jelani as a receiver. So if you put four receivers out there, you could still have, this might sound like a shot, Keaton ain't going to block no worse than our tight ends.
Right.
I'm going to just be honest with you. Keaton can block. I feel like our receivers are good blockers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it'd be a drop off if you have one of the receivers as Grant now, as a changeup.
Mm-hmm.
Not a knock on Grant, not a knock on Sackerwood. But I just feel like personnel will play a Jedi mind trick on BA. Of, ooh, we going to sling it now. I got four receivers in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my spiel coming out of that Georgia Tech game, because I felt like we showed flashes. I thought this was a game where first of all, offensive line, I thought y'all did a good job protecting. Georgia Tech has a special player, number one. What was his name? I forgot his name.
Thomas.
He's a special player. Because BA had some wrestling lanes where he was coming out of nowhere, tracking him down.
He just ate him. He ate up the cushion.
Yeah.
Ate
it up. Yeah. The one time he didn't get there, BA had that long run in the fourth quarter. But as you said, to go back to the defense, 14 yards total in the third quarter, didn't yield the first down, and we did nothing with it. That's sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
I mean, it really is. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. So then, you know, as we move to the Miami game, I mean, that was just a mastery of minimalism, you know. I mean, it really was. And we moved the ball.
Yeah, we moved the ball.
But from guard to guard, we were piss poor. You know, there was, you can't blame BA. You can't blame the running backs. We got whipped from guard to guard. And that's the immediate penetration will kill run. It will kill pass. You know, Coach Kitchen and the guys tried to do some things to get B out of the pocket. But, you know, you cut down half the field when you do that. So you make it more difficult. You know, the field is not open to you. But if you can't get any protection up the middle, man, it's just difficult. It's mm-hmm. difficult. And then you make BA get gun shy because now he's dropping in the pocket. And then even when he does have time, you know, he's looking at that first receiver, maybe the second one, and he's taking off.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't have the confidence in the line that they're going to protect him so that he can go through all of the progressions and then a check down, you know? And so it's crazy to kind of just watch it and to kind of listen to fans talk about, oh, you know, it's the scheme and it's Coach Kitch and, you know, it's a lot of things you can't blame on the coaches. You know, sure, when I look at the overtime play call, and I thought it was a little conservative, to be honest. It just looked like we were playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And I don't like that. Let me go out guns blazing, you know, with my squad if I'm going to go out. You know what I'm saying? And because ultimately, if you play not to lose, you're going to lose, you know, and that's just kind of what it felt like, you know, as I watched it. But let's drill down because there's some stats that I want to just throw out and have folks really just kind of, you know, peep over the last four games. Let's talk about rushing over the last four games. 93 yards against Duke, 6 yards against Louisville. Yes, I said six. That was not an error. 156 against Georgia Tech, 119 versus Miami. That's 93.5 average per game. So let's just break that down. BA had 23 of the 93 versus Duke. BA had 91 of the 156 against Georgia Tech. BA had 67 of the 119 versus Miami. So he averaging 43.2 yards per game rushing in those four games. He's 46% of the rushing attack.
Yeah.
Which that is not optimal. That is not optimal. And you set your quarterback up to get hurt when you put him in situations where he is the leading rusher. And a lot of those is not, they weren't necessarily design plays. They were just plays where he was making a play. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some nice design, quick draws when the teams were playing man to man as they have been doing. And he just see the middle open up and he take off and get what he can get. But because it keeps the chains moving, passing, you know, he averaged 229 over the last four games, 202, 313, 255, 149. Mm-hmm. Right. And so to me, that's crazy. Then offensively, we're averaging 338 yards per game total offense over the last four games. Where the issues have really hit us in the head and why we are not playing winning football. Let's talk about third down conversions.
Uh-oh.
Louisville, 3 of 12. Duke, 8 of 14. Georgia Tech, 2 of 14. Miami, 5 of 16. That's 18 for 56 at a whopping 32% on third downs. Now, it has been difficult to watch it because people are like, oh, well, you know, we've seen a number of third and longs, you know, where we haven't put ourselves in the best situation, both as play calling and the way and not making plays, dropping passes, et cetera, leaky offensive line. But we found ourselves in a lot of third and nine. We can't say that against Miami. Because we had ample opportunities on third in the yard or less. And we were just, we did not step up to the plate. If we talk time of possession over the last four games, Duke had the ball 36 minutes. We had it 23.
Ooh.
Louisville had the ball 34 minutes. We had it 25. The game that we won, the time of possession, we won the game. We had it 31. Georgia Tech had it 28. Miami had the ball 32 minutes. We had it 27 minutes. you know, and even in a game where there wasn't much offense, they still were able to get effective run games. And, you know, they were effective in being able to have winning on first downs. So then mm-hmm. it would be second and short. Then they do something creative, throw it in the flat, guy break a tackle, they get 9 yards on first down. And all of those type of things matter when you're going through it. Let's talk penalties. Duke, 6 penalties, 87 yards. Louisville, 5 penalties, 55 yards. Georgia Tech, 10 penalties, 92 yards. Miami, 6 penalties, 50 yards. So we're averaging 6.7 penalties per game, 71 yards in penalty yards per game. Turnovers, 2 against Duke, 3 against Louisville, 4 against Georgia Tech, for 9 turnovers in the month of October. That's 2.2 per game. We're not good enough to be able to overcome those amount of penalties, sacrificing yards, and turning the ball over 2.2 times per game. Let's talk red zone. We've been in the red zone versus Duke 3 times, 3 scores, 2 touchdowns. Louisville, red zone, 1 of 3, 1 touchdown. Georgia Tech, 2 of 3, 1 touchdown. Miami, 3 of 4, 0 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So the red zone in the month of October, we were 9 of 13, but we only had 4 touchdowns in the red zone. That's a whopping 31% red zone touchdowns. We have been outscored in the month of October, 97 to 62. We had 6 touchdowns in the month of October. 6 touchdowns.
6.
6. So 24 points, 0.2 points per game for the opponents, 15.5 for Virginia. So how do you go 1-3 versus 3 backup quarterbacks? That's how you do it. That's it in a nutshell. And with a defense that has really done a very good job, you know, a very good job. But mm-hmm. I want to temper everyone's expectation, because I, once again, it's versus 3 backup quarterbacks. You know, and so I want us to manage expectations, because we really gonna see this weekend. We're going to see this weekend, because Carolina, their offense is humming. They are playing at an elite level.
Oh, man.
An elite level, averaging 41 points per game, almost 42.
I'm going to just say 42.
Yeah. Yeah. 167 on the ground, 334 through the air, 502. Total offense. And their quarterback is a freshman that is not playing like one. Nope. He leads the team in rushing, leads the team in pass. You know, and then he has some stone cold killers out there in Antoine Green
and
Josh Downs.
Who in the slot?
Josh Downs is a pro.
All game in the slot.
All game in the slot.
He'll be versus, how can I put this? Our second tier cover guys.
Yeah.
The top tier guys are the bookends at corner. Yeah. Both of them play at a high level. If you want to challenge and get some yards against Virginia passing, go on the slot. Because those guys, no knock to them, don't cover like the bookends.
No.
Those bookends will cover you.
Yeah.
Quite nice.
They're not built for that type of coverage. So Who is going to cover Josh Downs in the slot? And don't sleep. They're tight ends.
Oh, they have, yes.
A talented trio of tight ends.
Yeah.
Coppenhaver, Morales, Nesbitt. Bro, they have 45 receptions for 667 yards and 7 touchdowns between the 3 of them. So not only do you have to worry about, you know, those monsters on the outside, or Josh Downs in the slot and Green on the outside, But you also got to worry about the tight ends and how you're going to handle that business. So it is pick your poison. And, oh, and by the way, the quarterback is mobile.
Oh, yeah. He can run. Like, he run.
Yeah.
Like, he don't just be looking so at a slide. Like, he'll try to jump over you. He do some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Bro, he literally averaging about 55 yards a game on the ground, bro. He the leading rusher. So he's passing it at a high level and he's running it at a high level. So Virginia is really going to have to be disciplined defensively this weekend. Do I see them holding them to 17 points or less? No, I do not. I'm going to keep it a full buck. Too many weapons on the outside, inside, throughout. Virginia will have to play its best game, its cleanest game. We can't turn it over. We can't have penalties. And the offense has to really come to play. Now, yes. Sometimes the best offense is the best defense is a good offense. And so if Virginia can control the time of possession, moving the ball methodically down the field, getting first downs, keeping that prolific offense on the sidelines, and then scoring touchdowns when they get the opportunity. You keep your defense rested. You keep them enthused. And you give them an ability to make plays. Carolina is winning in a bunch of different ways. They're winning when they're out in front. They don't mind storming from behind. Mm-hmm. They're winning a lot. But, you know, I also say that it is a finesse offense, too. You cannot allow it to be 7-on-7 out there. You know, yes. Whenever you're in front of a guy, he does not get through your zone without getting hands laid on him. You know, it's the great American choke out on the outside. It's jamming the hell out of those guys in the slot. If you over the tight end, make sure you pound his ass. All of those things are going to be at a premium in order for Virginia to make plays. And quite honestly, Hulk, I'm a double. I'm going to have somebody on the outside, somebody on the inside, safety in the hole, corners, y'all on y'all own, handle y'all business. Y'all been balling. I'm going to trust y'all to get it done and then, you know, release the hounds up front. We got to get pressure. Yeah, we cannot let May sit back there and pick us apart.
Yeah, it's no way. I like the idea. Look, this is the game where Gucci and Cypress got to show that they can be island boys because that middle of the field. Like that's why this offense is so tough because their best receiver is in the slot. And that's a tough matchup. Like you said, I'm having somebody right over top of him confront him. Then I got a safety over the top. But I'm just not confronting you and letting you go. I'm confronting you and I'm clamping. I got your outside shoulder and I'm clamping you. I'm mm-hmm. forcing right inside. And as a safety, I'm sitting inside waiting. And if people say, well, you're going to leave Gucci man and Fentro the outside by himself, I'll take my chance with you just thinking you could just throw deep on us. Because mm-hmm. nine routes and deep post routes aren't as high percentage throws as people think they are, especially a nine route. Like as a DB, we'll take our chances with nine routes because it's so many moving parts that have to come into play. Like the ball has to be accurate. The receiver has to have the ability to not only separate, but track the football. And you just never know as far as the body positioning, what's going to take place. We've seen that with our receiver. You could be open and just be an errant throw. And we sending heat at you. I'm sending heat to your face. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to come backside. No, I'm coming to your face. I want you to look. All I want him, you know, coach to do is have May look, check the rush. Because that gives us an extra second to operate on the back end. Check the rush. Because that's what teams do to the BA. His eyes got to drop. So when people always say, man, BA, he's locked on receiver. You can't lock on receiver with this. Off, that may come off harsh, but with this offensive line, how they struggle to protect, he ain't locking onto the receiver. He ain't looking at a receiver. He looking at them death threats coming to him. Mm-hmm. And then he's trying to find somebody. Like, so his eyes is moving. If you don't think B.I. eyes moving around, he just locking on. He can't afford to lock on one guy. So I like that game plan right there. It's going to be this is a game. But James Jackson comes into play because mm-hmm. he is the new breed linebacker that can run. You know, Nick is the hammer, the heart and soul. That's when you say Young Buck Hunt. Because he got that, I don't know no better type of speed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you go. You got May. No matter what, you got May. Up front, you guys have been doing a phenomenal job of running games and things like that. But we really need you to be educated pass rushers where you collapse the lane, take away the inside zone. We want to make North Carolina one dimensional. You can't. I have noticed this. The games, you know, last game, Pitt did a good job of limiting the run, and then the game got away from Pitt. But I think it was Pitt, and I forgot the other game where they got held under. It was only two teams that's held them under 100 yards rushing this year because they've been so very balanced. And we seen this with when Howell was here. If they can run the football on you, that means they could put the ball in the belly of the back, and they pull it late, and they get that burst route or that go route to the field. But if you neutralize the run with just the four guys, now you can really hone in on May. And look, been phenomenal. I don't know how Coach keep getting these young quarterbacks that's stepping on the field and doing work. But May, just like his brother, who was big time on the basketball court. And there is no way, because we got lucky with Miami with the backup quarterback and we held them under 20. There is no way we cannot score over 20 points and win this game. If we hold North Carolina under 20, we must have knocked May out. If you hold North Carolina, only reason why we held Miami under 20, because he wasn't good.
Yeah, it's okay to call him trash can juice.
Yeah, he was trash can juice. And then they put in a little, I'm going to just run it, number 11 in, and then they try to throw the ball with him. He skipped it to the daggone receiver. Like, that's what's so. Now, you know what? Petty Hawk then came out. You mean to tell me if we can't score at least 20 points on this defense, we are certified grade A, pure, 100%, no defects, no imperfections, trash can juice. If we can't score versus this defense, this defense was like Broncos defense. I'm sorry, Bronco. You caught a slug, my bad. This was like the 3-3-5 here. Go look at everybody score on them. They just outscore you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't score touchdowns versus this,
yeah.
Let me tell you something. Nobody better not request not a nail interview for me next week if we can't score 20, but if we can't score a touchdown.
Let's start with the basics.
Okay.
Let's start with the basics. Let's get touchdown out there first.
Okay. Oh, you're right.
Let's get one touchdown first.
One.
And then hopefully we can score multiple. We have the weaponry.
We got the weaponry. They need that LeBron James powder.
Or something.
You know, that's what I'm going to do. When we see them on the field, I'm going to have the LeBron James powder. And I'm going to, because that's it worked for Mike Epps and how high?
Indeed. My powder. Indeed. Well, fam, we're going to take it on out, man, but we're going to let Petty Hawk and Petty Cove take us on out, bro. Give me something, Petty.
Look, man, let me tell y'all something out here. Petty Hawk don't like how so impatient everybody in this world is. I get it. This is a sport. You pay your hard-earned money. You want the product. You want to be entertained. You want to brag. But you can't have sustained excellence if you don't never allow somebody to matriculate their way up to the excellence level. We're a long way. Tony Elliott, first year head coach, he's going to have some struggles. He admit he got struggles. All right. Nobody expected our receivers to struggle like this. But I saw an article from a guy that wanted Marcus Hagins released. If he did, what, man? I would
get to him. Give him to him, Petty.
Who wrote it? I don't even want to give him no pub, but it start with Augustus. He know who wrote it. Talking about it pains him to have to say this. You shouldn't have said it, sucker, because I'm on you. Talking about Marcus Hagins needs to be released.
Mm.
Some people just need to just delete before they hit send and print. He should have deleted that part. You want to let go Marcus Hagins? Marcus Higgins?
Facts.
Yeah, we know. That's why we glad you ain't no AD or no head coach employing coaches with that type of garbage you wrote about Higgins. Go ahead, Cuff. I'm done.
I'm right there with you, fam. So, you know, I'm going to get petty real quick, too, because and I'm right there along the same lines of, you know, I'm tired of these folks talking about, oh, it's the coaches, it's the coaches, it's the coaches. Okay, I could give y'all a little props at the beginning of the year because I was a little concerned with how the scheme was rolling out, route concepts, yada, yada, yada. But I saw the coaches making some adjustments. I ain't seen Coach Kitchens, Coach Elliott, Coach Higgins. I ain't seen them drop a single ball, and we done dropped 40 plus. I have not seen Coach Higgins, Coach Elliott, Coach Kitchens throw behind receivers or throw the ball in the dirt. I have not seen Coach Kitchens, Coach Elliott, Coach Higgins throw the ball to the other, to the opponent or fumble the ball away. I haven't seen. I have not seen either one of those individuals commit one penalty. I have not seen any of those individuals miss blocks over and over and over again. So I'm tired of people want to blame the coach. And somebody had the nerve to say, well, these receivers caught the ball last year. Well, then you need to ask them why they're not catching the ball this year. You know what I'm saying? Because my whole thing is like this. You know, they came into the season as touted the best receiving corps in the country. And from your last year numbers, sure, that was valid. But at some point, the true sign of greatness is consistency.
Consistency.
So if you can do it one year, if you work on your craft every single day, you should be able to do it again. It don't matter the scheme. The ball hits your hands, you make the catch, period, point blank. So instead of touting our guys as these great receiving core, maybe they just good, and that's it. Maybe they're not great. And we put them up on a pedestal to be great when they only proved it one year. Consistency, doing it year after year, is what makes you great. And I'm going to just drop the damn mic on that because I'm tired of that bullshit and seeing it. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. Be mad at old Petty Cove if y'all want to. I give zero fucks. Plain and simple.
And if you look for an excuse, you'll always find one.
Always find one. Facts.
Well, I wish I could have blamed Coach Tranquil for dropping balls at 99. Shit.
What? Man, come on. Believe that. Believe that.
I caught pass with Sparky Woods when Tranquil became the OC. That's when I started dropping the ball. God damn you, Coach Tranquil. You the real right. problem.
It's your fault.
Your damn fault.
You put the sun in my eyes.
Yeah.
You didn't throw me a tight spot.
If you want to be great, you better look at yourself and be like the little Johns. Remember, little buddy looking at his hands like, come on, guys, don't let me down now. That's what you better do. Don't look at nobody else but your two hands and you. That's it.
There's accountability that, you know, if you want to be great, there's an accountability that you have within you.
Yep.
You know, and something that I always emphasize is that when you become a part of this UVA football program, you become a brother. Is about the brotherhood. And when you play for each other, you don't get tired. You don't drop passes. You don't throw behind receivers. You don't get tired because you're playing for something that's bigger than you. You're playing for that dude beside you who has been through the wars. You've bled with him. You've cried with him. You've sweated with him. And to me, there is no greater love than to be out on that field, given an opportunity with your brothers every Saturday afternoon. Where the hell else would you rather be as a college football player than on that field? Hey, we always chasing the next locker room. And I'm going to tell these dudes right here. When the locker room is over for you, there's nothing you can do in life to assimilate it. So you better be striving for your next locker room. Am I right, Hawk? Ain't nothing like the locker room, bro.
Nothing like the locker room. That's what we miss the most when we walk away from the game, the locker room. And as you said, Cuh, you guys are our brothers. And when you family, a family's going to tell you something you don't want to hear, but what you need to hear. And it's not tearing you down. It's actually building you up because we see how great you are. So you hear this, we're not knocking you. We ain't saying we perfect. But your brother gonna say, dog, you not playing up to your standard, our standard. You way better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And we still there before every game telling you, I know I'm there, and Cubs speak for itself. I'm telling you to be great, and he tell you his violent slogans that I can't remember because they violent.
If it move, kill it. They know it.
There you go.
They know it.
They what's know the choke out one you be telling me?
That's the great American choke out, baby.
Y'all see what I'm saying? I can't remember though.
No doubt. Well, fans, this has been a special edition of the Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. Until next weekend, we are out. Go Hoos.
Choke them out.